So I've come to you from All Nations Church, just across the city, a little bit away, and they send you their greetings and their love. We pray for you often, and I've been asked by the elders to send their love to you and to say hello from Dave Shutt, who I think was with you back in February, and I think one or two others have been down to you, and now they've sent you me, and I have the word of God for you, and I'm excited to share it with you. So if you've got your Bible with you, would you turn to Mark chapter 6 for me? We'll begin there, and we'll have a look at a few things together. And then I won't keep you long because the sun is shining, and it's Father's Day, and I'm sure you all have wonderful plans. So we'll hear from the Lord, and then we'll go out and do it, shall we? So Mark chapter 6, if you will. I want to look with you in the scriptures at how our inner life is designed to be sustained by heaven's resources. All the resource of God is available for you through Jesus. And he wants us to be sustained every day by eating on that resource. And we're going to look at the feeding of the 5,000, which I'm sure is a very familiar story to you. When Jesus fed 5,000 people from 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And I'd like to look at a few aspects of that. And then if you're available this evening, then we're meeting together again at 6:30, and we'll look together at what comes next, which is the walking on water, and how those two miracles are linked together in the Word for a reason. But I'll give you a little taster of that towards the end, and we'll go from there. So Mark 6 then. To give you a bit of context, the beginning of Mark 6 starts with Jesus in his hometown of Nazareth, where he gets rejected, and he can't perform many miracles because there's no faith there. And he's sent off, he's pushed out of the town. But he then sends off his 12 disciples to go around the villages, and they see people healed, they see demons cast out, and they come back to him with rejoicing. So you've got these two kind of contrasting emotional moments. Jesus, if you like, has had a spiritual rejection. There's been people who've stood up against him and said, "We don't want what you've got. We don't want what you've got." And then the disciples have had a moment of success. They've had, "Oh, Lord, this is great. This is wonderful. We've just been used by God." And then you see in Mark chapter 6, a little later on, let's start with verse 30, what happens next. And it's important to note as well, there's a reference to John the Baptist being beheaded, and Jesus was John the Baptist's best friend. So Jesus is not only going through a moment where spiritually people rejected him, he's also emotionally grieving for a friend. He's grieving for his friend. And the disciples are rejoicing. What a contrast. Can you see that contrast there? Rejoicing and grief. But look what happened. In verse 30 of Mark 6, the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them, and they ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time, it was late in the day. So his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." This story is one of the only stories that's mentioned 4 times in the Gospels. In every single Gospel, you find this story. And that tells us there's something vital in it. There's something really important for us in it. And we've seen that setting, that contrast in experience and emotion, that Jesus is in a moment of grief. But his response to the crowd is one of grace and love and compassion. He's put aside what we might say is his personal feeling. He's put aside what was his emotional response, if you like. And he said, "No, there's something greater in this situation that I want to engage in. And that is grace and compassion and love to these people." The disciples, however, have had a wonderful success. You'd think they're on a high. You'd think they are just full of the word of God, just ready to go. But then the crowds come to them and their response is, "Send them away, send them away, send them away." There's a bit of a contrast there. Jesus, grace, faith, and compassion. The disciples, grumbling, doubt, and self-centeredness. And Jesus sees that and he says, "Okay, there's an opportunity here for some discipleship of the disciples." and we're going to look at what that looks like. But have you recognized those kind of things in your own life where you might be on a mountaintop, you might have had a fantastic success, and you might be looking to just spend some time basking in that. And then a situation comes along and you think, why was my reaction like that? Why did I react negatively towards that situation? Maybe someone knocks on your door and says, can I have a word with you for a moment? And your reaction is a negative one. And you think, why was that? Or maybe you're grieving at the moment. Maybe a friend or a loved one has passed away. Or maybe you've sought to reach out into a community in this area. Maybe you've said, I want to reach the youth in this area. And you've felt rejected, a bit like Jesus in his hometown, when people said, we don't want to hear from you. Go away. But what is our reaction in those times? Do we draw on something within ourselves, something earthly, or do we draw on heaven, on the resources of heaven, and react in the way that Jesus does, with grace and faith and compassion? Renee and I got married last summer. Renee is from the United States of America and came to Cardiff for a Bible school, which we run in All Nations Church. And we met then, and we ended up getting married 2 years later last summer. And in order to live here, we were required to meet various criteria for immigration purposes, that sort of thing. And there were a few of those criteria which were impossible for us to meet, particularly the financial criteria, were absolutely impossible. But God broke through. But we had to learn the lesson of what is our response to those situations. What is your response when you're faced with a circumstance or a situation that you find, this is impossible for me? There's no natural resource I can rely on to meet the situation. This is a situation which requires 5 loaves to feed 5,000 families, and we just can't do that. But the Holy Spirit working through us will do all those things because we're drawing on heaven's resources. So I'd like to look at what that looks like then. You see the disciples reacted in a certain way to this situation. So let's read on a little bit further in the story. So we were in verse 36, weren't we? So let's read a little bit further. Verse 37 of Mark 6. Jesus answered them, you give them something to eat. The disciples said to him, that would take 8 months of a man's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them? Jesus said, how many loaves do you have? He asked, go and see. When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. And we'll come back to the rest of the story later. But do you see the disciples here with a situation? They start with problem solving, natural thinking, problem solving. They start with, they then move to passing the buck. And then finally, they plead their insufficiency. And isn't that often what we can find ourselves doing? We think, first of all, we'll problem solve. Let's get to it. Let's try and find a practical solution to reaching this particular situation with a heavenly resource. But heavenly resource won't come through natural thinking, won't come through problem solving in that way. Someone said that the root of all problems is solutions. And sometimes you'll find that. You get into this cycle of problem solving, problem solving, problem solving, and you've got your head down and you're digging, you're digging, you're digging, and there's no solution. Or you might go to passing the buck. You might think, oh no, it's not my job. This would take 8 months' wages. I can't do that. Or pleading insufficiency. We don't have the ability. There's not enough of us. But God wants to say to you today, heaven's resources are not insufficient. Heaven's resources are abundant towards you. And he wants us to learn together how to feed ourselves on heavenly resources. So let's look at that. We often react in those human ways, but Jesus teaches us a lesson here that's a spiritual lesson. How to rely on the Father's resource. So let's carry on reading. We were in verse 39, weren't we? Let's read together. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. That might be what we do this afternoon, we'll see. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven. There's a key, isn't it? He looked up to heaven. He gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. And the number of men who had eaten was 5,000. So Jesus here performs a miracle, we know that. A natural miracle that 5 loaves of bread were food for 5,000 families, not just 5,000 people, 5,000 men, which indicates that their wives and their children were all there as well. 5,000 families were fed on 5 loaves because a man who in the natural was grieving, who in the natural had faced disappointment, decided not to focus on that because he was drawing on the resource of his Father in heaven. And he used 12 other hungry men. There's a movie called 12 Angry Men. It's a fairly movie from the 60s, I guess, 60s, 70s, something like that. I think you could make a movie like this called 12 Hungry Men. It would be slightly different. But Jesus fed 5,000 people because one man used 12 hungry men to feed others. He changed the focus, didn't he? He said, God first, others second, and then you. Whereas the disciples wanted it to be us, and then I guess we'll get round to spending time with Jesus, and then maybe other people, if we can so put up with them. But God says, no, it's God first. Draw from me, give to others, and you yourself will be refreshed. Doesn't it say that in the Word? If you refresh others, you yourself will be refreshed. Jesus was so full of God that he could feed others knowing that he himself would be refreshed, even if he was grieving. And that's what Jesus wants us to become like, day after day, more and more like that. You could sum the whole story up in two words. The disciples say, buy. How can we buy food? Jesus says, give. Just give. And if you look at the words, the miracle happened as Jesus began to give the bread. He broke it, and then as he gave, he kept on giving, kept on giving, kept on giving, and it never ran out until everyone was satisfied. And they had 12 basketfuls of bread. They were big hampers. They were these big travel baskets, and they were full of bread, which we'll look at a little later. Would you turn to Luke 4 then? Just want to give a bit of reference here to this, what we're talking about, heaven's resources, and how to live from heavenly resources, the resources of the Father. So Luke 4 is the account of when Jesus was in the wilderness being tempted by the devil. And Jesus had been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. So he was hungry. And the first temptation that the devil comes to him with is in verse 3. The devil says to Jesus, if you're the Son of God, tell the stone to become bread. And Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone. And that is the first temptation in the wilderness that Jesus faces. And it's the temptation saying, where is your resource? What resource are you relying on? You're hungry, physically hungry. His stomach was eating on itself, if you like. He needed food. And the devil comes and says, where's your resource? What are you relying on? You can make that stone into a piece of bread and eat that and you'll be satisfied. But Jesus says, no, my resource is not this natural thing. Man doesn't live on bread alone. Man lives on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And Jesus answers the question in his own life once and for all. My resource is the Father. I can only do what I see the Father doing. And so then when you see in the feeding of the 5,000 how Jesus responds to the situation, it's obvious, isn't it? Jesus was never going to rely on a natural way of feeding these people because he never relied on a natural way of feeding himself. He was always relying on the Father's resource. So when he was faced with 1,000 people or even 50 people in a room who needed food, he said, I'm not going to go and buy food with 8 months' wages or whatever. I have resource from heaven, and I'll just give that. And as I give and give and give, they'll be satisfied, and I myself will be refreshed. And that's the economy of God. It's not a natural economy. It doesn't work in maths, but it works in heaven. Let's turn together to the Psalms, if that's okay. Psalm 9. So Jesus is demonstrating how to live from the Father's resource. He's demonstrating what it is to give, not to buy. I like that we read that verse this morning, store up your treasures in heaven, not on earth. Isn't that right? That as you have treasure in heaven and you can draw on those resources, you'll never run dry. God has an abundant supply for you. It's not about what you have on the earth, because those things will just fade away. The economy might fall, the economy might rise, but heaven never changes because God never changes in heaven, and he has abundant supply every day to provide for all your need. So Psalm 9, that's where we said, wasn't it? Psalm 9 and verse 10 says, those who know your name, someone prayed about that this morning, that we know the one that we're coming to, we know him. Those who know your name will trust in you, for you have never forsaken those who seek you. You know, if you know his name, then you know his nature. That's what this psalm is saying. It says, those who know your name put their trust in you, he's never forsaken those who seek him. That's a parallel. There's a comparison between the two, that knowing him speaks of the fact that he never forsakes you. There's a link between his name and his nature. That's what I'm saying. If you know him, you know his nature. And as you know his nature, you'll be able to trust in him and seek him. And by trusting in him and seeking him, you'll continue to know him more and find that your resource is in him. And I want to talk to you a little bit about trusting the Lord, because I believe that's what Jesus demonstrated in the feeding of the 5,000. Fundamentally, he trusted God would do it. He was functioning from heavenly resources, from the Father's resource, because he trusted that God was able, even though physically, naturally, he wasn't able to as a man. Jesus couldn't feed 5,000 as a man without relying on the resources of heaven. And so we have to see that Jesus trusted in God. In the world today, there's nothing you can trust in, is there, really? Politics, not really trustworthy. Economy, not really trustworthy. Bankers, not really trustworthy. All these things that we might have thought, oh, if we can follow this thing or that thing or the other thing, we might succeed. We might do well. But there's nothing you can really trust other than the Lord. No one's trustworthy. No one's reliable other than God. No system can be trusted other than God. No community is inherently stable and reliable other than the community of the faith. God never changes. He never forsakes you. He never leaves you. He never forgets about you. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. He's the Alpha and he's the Omega. He is at the start of things and he's already at the end of things. He's wrapped them all about. So you can be totally secure trusting in him. God never changes. The Father is totally and utterly immovable. He's secure. And so he's saying to us today, trust me. Trust me. If you've got a situation that you're facing where you think, this requires a financial breakthrough that I cannot meet with my current financial situation, God says, trust me. Trust me and give. If you've got a personal situation, perhaps you're grieving, or perhaps you've got a conflict in your life that you think, I don't know how to achieve this. I don't know how to change this. I don't know how to move forward in this. I just feel stuck. And God's saying, trust me. Trust me. Rely on me because I haven't changed. My purpose for you is still good. My purpose for you is still success. My purpose for you is still prosperity. But it's all coming from relying on heavenly resource, not on something we can conjure up ourselves. Because we'll never achieve anything that way, will we? We could never have got a visa by relying on our personal situation. We'd probably still be waiting. And we'll probably have to work for another 5, 6, 7, 8 years to be able to be in the situation we're in. But we had to learn to let go of that. We have to learn to let go and say, I trust God. And if I've got nothing else, I trust him. And that is enough. I don't need him and something else. He has the full majority. You and God, majority every time. You don't need to worry about trying to function from a minority government. You and God, majority. You've got it. So God is totally trustworthy, and he wants us in these situations of life. It might not be 5,000 people needing feeding, but we all have a situation, don't we, where we think, I can't do that. I can't do what's necessary. But God says, trust me, rely on me, and I'll bring the breakthrough. Final scripture I'd like to look at with you is Proverbs 3, and verse 5. Again, lots of probably quite familiar scriptures, I'm sure, perhaps memory verses from Sunday school or whatever. Proverbs 3, verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. Isn't that an interesting verse? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. I like that phrase. Don't lean on understanding. If you're going to lean somewhere, we often lean on our understanding, don't we? It's a bit like the disciples trying to problem solve. I can try and work out a way around this if I just lean on my understanding. I just lean on something natural, something mental. If I can calculate 7 months' wages wouldn't quite do it, but 8 months' wages might just make it. 8 months' wages. If we put together 8 months' wages, we can go to the shop and we can buy some Hovis and we can feed everyone here. They were leaning on their understanding. all the time. And if you lean and lean on your understanding, it's not going to hold you. But God says, I want you to lean on something else. I want you to trust in the Lord with all your heart. And I like the verse that says that we're born from above. Do you know where it says that? In John, that when we're born again, we're born from above. We're born from heaven, if you like, because we're children of God, aren't we? We're born again. We're born a different way to the way we were born naturally. We're born spiritually. We're born again. And what I believe is when you're born naturally, you have your center of gravity is earthward, isn't it? You're born earthly, you lean earthwards. Your center of gravity is this way. But when you're born from above, it flips. Your center of gravity now is upward. Paul talks about the upward call of God. Your center of gravity has been changed. So you don't lean in the same way you used to. Your center of gravity has shifted. So it's not about leaning on your understanding anymore. It's about leaning on the Lord. Just lean on Him. In those situations where you require something to, some security, some stability, then the word says to lean on the Lord. And I believe that's what Jesus did all the time. He said, I can't do anything without seeing my Father do it. I can't do a thing. Couldn't even eat some food, couldn't even go to the shops, couldn't even say this or say that without seeing his Father do it, because he was leaning. His center of gravity was always upward. But the disciples hadn't quite got that, had they? Hadn't quite got there yet, because they were leaning on their own understanding. But in Mark 6, we see that Jesus is teaching in this lesson. He's changing their perspective. He's saying, instead of buying something, give something. Instead of leaning on your understanding and trying to problem solve something, just trust me. Just rely on the resources of heaven, and I'll work the miracle. And sometimes I think that's all we have to do, really. We just lean on the Lord. We let him break the bread and do that. And we just take the bread from Jesus and we just say, here you go, here's the bread. The disciples had a really simple task, but they tried to complicate it all the time by leaning on their understanding. But all Jesus said was, spread them out, come to me and get bread, and then go and give it to them. And I think I could probably do that. I'm not the most complex kind of person, but I think I could probably take something from Jesus and go and give it to someone else. But that comes from leaning on him. And I believe that's the truth for all of us, is we have to trust in the Lord. We have to lean on him, not on our own understanding of situations. We have to say, okay, Jesus, you do the miracle and use me. I'm up for it. And I believe that you as a people have what it takes to meet every situation in a godly way. Because the Bible says you do. But I believe that comes from trusting in God, first of all, saying, I want to see what you're doing, Lord, and then I'll do that. I want to see what the resource is in heaven, and then I'll do that. And the great news is the disciples got to take home some bread. They each took home a big basket full of this bread, this miracle bread. It just as a reminder to them of the power of God. 5,000 families. I can't even imagine. That's a stadium almost, isn't it? 5,000 families. That's a huge crowd. Fed. Everyone satisfied. From five little loaves. Lunch loaves. And the disciples, each with almost like a hamper on their back, carrying home a basket full of bread. As a reminder to them, to carry every day that abundant resource from the Father's house. They were carrying with them a physical reminder that God has the supply. God is abundant, that God's resources are enough. They took it home with them. And I believe that's what we can do today. That just like carrying a basket full of bread out of those doors, we can carry a reminder today that God has enough. God's resource is enough. God is where I have to put my trust and my reliance and lean on him. We must learn the same lesson the disciples learned. It's not about problem solving. It's not about pleading insufficiency. It's just about saying, Jesus, you're able through me to meet this need. And I trust in you. And you'll take home a reminder. You'll be refreshed because you'll have eaten bread because they were hungry. Isn't it funny that when we're hungry, we sometimes make bad decisions? The disciples, I think a trait of the disciples is being hungry. They seem to be hungry all the time. They're always going off and getting food. And this is another situation where they hadn't eaten. They've been off in the villages, preaching, healing, seeing demons cast out. And they come back to Jesus all excited. And it says they haven't even had a chance to eat. So Jesus says, come with me to the mountainside and we can have some food. And then the crowds arrive. But Jesus says, before we have food, let's give to them. And then the disciples found out later on, we got more than enough. We got to eat, and we got a basket full of bread left over. Jesus wants us as his disciples to walk every day with a basket full of bread. Every day with a basket full of bread. In your hand, knowing that that's a demonstration of how to live in God's resource. How to live from his resource. How to look at a practical situation and say, I know that I need this much to pay this bill, and I've got X, and X doesn't equal Y. But God, I trust in you. I trust in you. And I'm going to lean on you now. I'm going to lean on the Lord. I'm going to trust that Jesus' hand is enough to perform this miracle. Because it's in heaven. It's an abundant resource in heaven. God has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ, it says in Ephesians. God has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. But it isn't hidden away in the heavenly realms. It's not, oh, he's blessed us in the heavenly realms, which you can never get access to. He's not put it away in a closet and said, that door is locked, the heavenly realms, until you die, and then you can have access to all the resource. No, he said, it's in the heavenly realms, and I've made you born from above. You live there. You can just go to the storehouse and say, okay, this is the resource of heaven for me. Okay, this is the resource of heaven for me. Because it's in Christ, and we're in Christ. We have access. God hasn't hidden away his resource from you. He wants us to carry that basket full of bread every day. A reminder that God is our source and God is our supply. Because your inner life is designed to be sustained by the Father's resource. Your inner life is designed that way. We're born from above. Our center of gravity has shifted. And we're designed now to be sustained every day by the bread of life, which is Jesus. Just eating on him, feeding on him, and knowing that we're carrying with us a basket full of bread every day to meet the situations we're in. And I believe God wants to give you that today. I don't have 50 baskets of bread. Maybe I should have gone to the co-op before I came in and brought you all a basket of bread. But if you like, as an image, I'd like you to take that away with you. You have a basket full of bread this morning. Full of the supply of heaven, full of God's resources to meet every situation you face. God wants us to live from his resource, from his supply, and not from our own. And in Mark chapter 6, where we were before, if I could just take you back there. Let me just summarize by saying this. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. And the number of men who'd eaten was 5,000. And immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida. And I can just imagine it. There's 12 baskets, each one each. Big basket of bread, just heaving this basket. And then they have to get into a big sailing boat, a big fishing boat. And they're climbing up the ladders and they're heaving their basket. One at a time, this basket full of bread. Jesus immediately, without stopping, he says, take that basket, get in the boat. It's time for the next thing. And they take their basket full of bread into the boat. And you'll find later a storm arises on the lake. And we'll look at what the significance was of them having a basket full of bread there in the middle of the boat among the storm. And how Jesus then again reminded them to rely on God's resource. And I'd like to look at that this afternoon. So if you're available, If you've had enough sun, you want to come back indoors at 6:30. Is 6:30 right? Yeah, 6:30. But I'd like to look together not only at how your inner life, those situations, internal situations, if you like, those emotional situations, those practical situations that you say, I have to rely on God's resource. We've addressed that this morning. But this afternoon, we're going to look at then what happens with an external situation. What happens when a storm arises? It's totally out of your control, totally unexpected. And a storm whips up. You think, how do I react to this? I've learned how to feed myself on God's resource. And I've learned how to give to others. But now I'm in a boat and then a storm arises. And there's some truth in that for us because there's a link between these two miracles. God is saying, my resource is enough. My resource is enough. So I'd like to pray for us together here. And particularly I'd like to pray that we all understand and receive the truth from God here that he has enough for us His resources enough that we are to rely on His resource. But I'd also like to pray for you if you personally have a situation that you think, Lord, I want to lean on you, but I don't know how, or I want to lean on you, but I just need someone to stand with me in that leaning process, rather than leaning on my understanding, but leaning on the Lord, then both Renee and I would be very, very happy to pray with you. So if at the end of all this, if you want to come and say hello and just mention to us that you'd like prayer for something, then we're very, very happy to do that and to stand with you, because we've been in situations where we've been required to lean on the Lord. And it's not easy sometimes, but that's the discipleship process. That's what Jesus is saying to these guys who just had a fantastic success. And then they have a situation where they meet it in a practical way, a natural way, and Jesus says, okay, guys, there's another lesson for us to rise to. I believe that God is opening that door for us this morning. But shall we pray together? Heavenly Father, we want to thank you that your resource is abundant for us. We want to thank you, Lord, that your resource in heaven is overflowing, that, Lord, no need is greater than your grace. Lord, no situation could come before you that you don't have the ability to meet with power for us. And Lord Jesus, I pray for these wonderful people who love you, who love your name, and who are serving you in their own generation. Lord, I pray for them. Lord, that right now you would fill them afresh with resource from heaven. That, Father, you would fill them with an understanding that you are for them, that you've never changed, that every situation of their life is under your control, and that, Lord, you have an abundant supply, an absolutely overflowing, wonderful supply for them. That, Lord Jesus, just like a hungry crowd was fed by 5 loaves, you are able to meet any situation for us with your provision. And so we just commit ourselves again to you. We say, Lord, we're choosing now not to trust in our own understanding, not to lean on our own knowledge, but, Lord, to trust in you, because you alone are trustworthy. You alone are reliable. And, Lord, we lean now on you. We rely on you completely. We trust you to meet every situation we face with your power and your glory. And, Lord, we know that as we walk through life, we will face challenges. But, Lord, we know that we will overcome them just like you overcame the world. Because, Lord Jesus, your supply never runs out. Lord, you never run out of fuel. Your purposes never slow down. Your kingdom never stops increasing. Because, Lord, your resource and supply is never ending. You own the cattle on 1,000 hills, Lord. Everything belongs to you and everything comes back to you. You are before everything and you are after everything. And Lord, we trust completely in you. Lord, bless these people here. Bless them in their lives. Lord, bless their families. Bless their children. Lord, let every financial situation they face be met by your abundance and glory. Let every emotional and personal and interpersonal relationship, Lord, be met by the abundance of your grace. Let them see with the eyes of faith right now as they think about situations in their life, as they've thought, as I've been speaking about situations that they're facing, that they just find it's difficult to face. Lord, I pray you'd give them fresh perspective, a fresh eye of faith, just like we're born from above, that their center of gravity would be shifted now to see it from your perspective, and to know that you have the resource to meet that situation. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you, because you are enough for us, and we love you, and we worship you this morning. Bless your name, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen.